Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's the Greg Hill Morning Show with your host, Greg Hill. Streaming live from WEEI.com and the radio.com app. And now, it's time for the Greg Hill Morning Show on Sports Radio WEEI.
Well, we got distracted during the news by turtle sex and by global warming or climate change. So we didn't get to the story about those who have their, I was going to say panties, but maybe since we're talking about global warming, their long underwear in a bunch over what LSU did when it comes to the national championship and their students. And I don't get this, the complaining about this.
I don't either. LSU, their board of supervisors, issued a statement Friday that they're going to cancel classes today and tomorrow at the main campus in Baton Rouge because everyone's going to the national championship game in New Orleans tonight. Or at least watching it. And there were a lot of students. They initially said they weren't going to cancel classes. And then all the students went nuts. So, like, what the hell? We want to go to the game. We want to watch the game. We don't have to worry about this. So they relented and they said, okay, you know what? Monday and Tuesday, classes are canceled because no one was going to go anyway.
That's okay. I mean, it's college. Like, I mean, are a lot of people showing up for Monday classes at college anyway?
No. I didn't.
The reason why you go to LSU is to watch the football games.
Right. Thank you.
When was the last time someone like, and now this Rhodes Scholar, a graduate of LSU.
Don't attack the LSU grads that are listening.
When I was at BC, Thursday night games in the fall, we'd have classes canceled after 3 p.m. so that they could empty the parking lots and get the boosters in. And the professors were so angered by that.
I mean, people complain about everything. These people are complaining that this is going to be the downfall of society because the future generation is not going to understand that you still have to work even when there's a national championship game on or a Super Bowl or something like that. But I mean, it's college.
It's a little bit of a loss of perspective. I mean, come on.
Yes. You think so? You think school should be more important than watching the national?
What's the percentage of the students that care about the football game?
It's less than LSU?
Probably 95%.
It's probably all of them, I would assume.
Danielle said it. They were all going to watch anyway. There's just going to be – and by the way – Baton Rouge is an hour away from New Orleans. So they're all going down there. They're just going to pack the city. They were worried about class. And have you ever, in the 28 years that you did the show upstairs, did you ever hear a single story of somebody missing work after a Super Bowl and then getting fired?
No. I think it's forgiven.
Yes.
I mean, it's allowed. I mean, this year, unfortunately, our New England Patriots won't be there. and who knows what will happen in the future. When Bill Belichick is the general manager of the New York Football Giants.
Wow.
I love that you've embraced this. I mean, now, what's the intel? Is it like serious, legitimate sourcing?
It's not that high up.
Oh.
But the theory is...
You're going to anger the afternoon show with this type of speculation.
Scoops Fourier. What's he going to talk about?
The theory is that Bill has always wanted to be... Whether it's head coach or higher, general manager of the New York Giants would like to return there, maybe end it all there.
Always loved it.
And therefore, should Robert Kraft overrule him when it comes to re-signing Tom Brady, that he would move on to be the general manager of the New York Football Giants, and therefore would be there to mentor Joe Judge, thereby that is why he was so helpful when it came to that particular job and his employee, as opposed to preventing Josh McDaniels from interviewing in Carolina or elsewhere.
No, I believe this, but there's no way he'd let Judge coach, right? I mean, he would be out.
He'd be the de facto head coach GM with. With
Belichick would take both jobs,
like a placeholder. You know, you get. I mean, I don't know.
I mean, you can't introduce Judge. You can't pull a Parcells Belichick of 20 some odd years ago with the Jets, where Belichick's the coach and Parcells is on a conference call, and then, oh, it's just until Parcells can get his free release. You're not going to introduce Judge, then have Belichick wrestle free in a few weeks, and then have him step in and have Joe Judge step in. I mean, that
Do you think that right now, currently, he and Robert Kraft are on a collision course over signing Tom Brady?
I think it's a done deal. Kraft has agreed with Belichick, and they're not going to re-sign him. But
you do,
but unless Kraft's having second thoughts at all the negative reactions already come out. I think he has to be.
I think this weekend, in the last 5 days, for whatever reason, it hit me that all of the proclamations of the death of the Patriots dynasty have actually caused Brady to want to come back more. I think if you're sitting there and everybody's saying it's over, you're done, the Patriots run is finished, I think there's an element of Tom that his entire career has been proving people wrong, that's going to draw him back to the Patriots.
Here's 860 text from the continent of Connecticut. I like this take. That means Josh McDaniels is the head coach of the New England Patriots, and Brady stays, and Josh gives him the support that he needs.
And he then brings in Chad O'Shea, who was dismissed from the Dolphins a week and a half ago to be offensive coordinator. The big question is, and I'm sure this is what kept Curtis up last night, with the Belichick's departing, who will be the new defensive coordinator? Who's going to call? Will Mayo finally take over and assume his rightful place and not have Lars Belichick or whoever the hell it is back there
Baron
calling the plays?
Let's see.
Baron Belichick, I love it.
Here's a text.
And Baron.
Here's a text that says, this is just a New York theory based on everyone obviously wanting to live in New York if you're a New Yorker. Well, I don't. It's
no.
Didn't come from a New Yorker.
Ooh, Brady could rent his Greenwich mansion to Belichick.
There we go.
I mean, a more likely theory, though, is that Belichick is so desperate to have Stidham succeed, he couldn't let McDaniels go, therefore sabotage him, because he knows he can't groom Stidham to be the next guy. He needs McDaniels here to groom Stidham to be the next guy.
But do you think Josh McDaniels is pissed today?
Of course. I mean, he got blocked from two jobs, at least, per reports, if you believe those. Now, maybe his agent screwed him over, too, somehow in there, which is bizarre. But wouldn't you be if your boss wouldn't let you interview with two jobs that you clearly wanted? You were ready to get on a plane, and he said no?
Belichick blocks him from doing the Carolina interview. A subordinate of his gets the other job in New York, and then you fly to Cleveland. And then you're subjected to this tech nerd telling you that you have to go to a several hours long analytics conference and submit a game plan and kowtow to Paul DePodesta, who left the Dodgers to become an analytics guy in Cleveland. The best thing that could have happened for McDaniels is not getting the Browns job, because it would have been an absolute nightmare working for Jerry Jones 2.0 without the rings, Jimmy Haslam.
All right. What time is it? 8:16. I got to do this.
Tom Brady becomes an unrestricted free agent in 64 days, 8 hours, and 3 minutes.
I mean, I'm trying to, you know, find the path of least resistance.
This is Mike from Florida. What's up, Mike?
Good morning, guys. How are we doing today?
What's going on, Mike?
So I called initially to talk about the Edelman thing because I had an incident when I was a teenager. I was 17 years old. I did the same thing Edelman did, and I was charged with a felony that I served time for.
Really?
So, yep.
For jumping on the hood of a vehicle, you went to jail?
Yep. I was in Mansfield, Massachusetts, and that's all I did was dented the car, and because the damage was supposedly over $650, that is considered a felony in Massachusetts.
Too bad. Too bad. Rachel Rollins wasn't the DA then.
Yeah,
you would have been given a medal.
Exactly. But on the climate change thing, I've been listening while I've been on hold, and you know, I think one caller hit the nail on the head. The arrogance that we have as human beings, that we somehow have control over what's going to happen. It just baffles me, right? It's you can say that we're not taking care of the planet. You could say it's a good idea to take care of the planet. But everyone should be clear on the fact that no matter what we do, at some point, this Earth will buck us off like the fleas that we are, the insignificant fleas that we are, whatever it wants to. Look at, you guys were talking about how warm it was up there over the weekend for you, and yesterday in particular. I looked it up. So yesterday was only the third time since like 1872 that the city of Boston had temperatures over 70 degrees. But that says right there that even in 1872, you had temperatures that high. That is basically pre-industrial revolution.
Right.
So what caused it to get so warm then and before then? There was no smog. There was no pollution at that point in time. And when you think about this Earth, the dinosaurs were walking the Earth for millions of years. 65 million years ago, there was nothing. If that happened right now, today, what happened with the dinosaurs, there is nothing we could do about it.
No, you're right.
And at that point in time, the whole Earth was a subtropical to tropical climate. It was basically like Florida all over the freaking planet.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah.
That's a nightmare.
Oh, man. Concealed carry permits and bath salts everywhere.
Jeez.
Buffets and orgies. I'll pass.
Oh, speaking of orgies.
Yes.
And then we'll get to trending. But medical experts have announced that last year a record was set when it comes to a sex-related injury.
Yeah.
And that more men, I hate, like, if you're a guy and you're listening right now, let me just give you a warning. This is going to hurt. More men suffered broken penises than ever before.
The number of people, guys that suffered broken penises last year was higher, 38% higher than it was in, like, the previous 2 years combined.
Like, what's going on?
People are getting more adventurous with sex.
I guess so.
It's the Tinder and everything else.
Yeah, I mean,
global warming.
Yeah.
Apparently, traditional style isn't good enough.
No.
I mean, there must be some sort of a new position thing or something that's causing this.
The conventional and the reverse cowgirl are the two most dangerous ones because you don't really have control. You don't have control over the trajectory of movement of your partner.
Yeah. Well, be careful.
Yeah.
In this new year,
doctors are saying that men are coming in and literally looking like they have bruised eggplants.
Oh.
Oh no! Basically, everybody now has Joel Embiid's finger downstairs.
It was that injury was up 38%.
Correct.
Jeez.
Yeah. So be careful.
Don't get so aggressive.
Well, you know, you're in the moment.
Take it easy.
She goes right.
People are watching too much porn and thinking that they're an actual porn star, and you're not. You know what I mean?
I don't know. If you actually watch porn, not a lot of these people actually perform like they're porn stars.
Let the experts do that kind of thing. They're well trained.
Oh, they're talking about porn again in a dumb show.
Ken ruined my morning playing the breaking the box of pasta sound.
Yeah, I'm done. Yeah. That's from the old show. Where we had Larry on, who suffered that horrible fate, mm-hmm. and gave us a full breakdown of what happens. All right, time for What is Trending.
The only station in Boston where you'll hear exclusive interviews with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. Now here's What's Trending on WEEI.
Well, trending brought to you by the all-new 2020 Subaru Outback. Go where love takes you this winter. SubaruofNewEngland.com. We had Boomer Esiason on earlier, brought to you by DCU and Vertex, up at WEI.com shortly. Did not have Tom Brady today. He was on with Scratchy over the weekend. Halftime appearance was the more electric as he was asked about his future. Here was the largest exchange, which was the crescendo.
Tom, there's a tremendous amount of speculation as to where you're going to play next season. Every outlet and every expert now has you going from anywhere to 14 to 17 different teams. I know you say you don't pay attention to what is written or what is printed. However, you cannot avoid this because being in Boston, it's just everywhere. How are you dealing with all of this speculation and seemingly everybody knowing where you're going more so than you know?
Well, I can only say how I feel, and that's, you know, what's the truth to me and what's authentic to me. And you're right. I have no decisions that I've made, and there won't be for any considerable time. So I know there's speculation. There always is. That's just part of being in professional sports and being a professional athlete. And, you know, when people aren't talking about this season, they want to talk about next season. And the reality is next season's quite a ways away. So I have some other things that are happening at this time. Like I said, spending some time with my family and my loved ones and giving them the time they need. And then as people begin to plan for next season, like I said, these things will take care of themselves.
Huh. Mm. All right. Let the offers begin. Sounds to me like that's a guy who wants to test the free agency market, don't you think?
Which will screw the Patriots because of that extra $13.5 million cap space. He gets 25 here next year after March 18th. That's 38.5 mil against the cap. That's a lot of space.
Now, did Ryan Tannehill do enough with the Titans to eliminate that? That was my place.
Yeah.
He had one big throw, but it's amazing. They have two playoff wins. He's thrown 14 passes and then 15 passes. Less than 100 yards in both games.
Maybe it does.
But a couple key throws, they're having success. So would you rather have Brady or Tannehill now if you're a Titans
if you're management? Tannehill's done everything you needed, catching passes, running for touchdowns. Oh, and it sort of helps when you have the only running back in NFL history, Greg, to run for over 180 yards in three straight games.
He's a beast.
We're asking the question seriously. Would you rather have Ryan Tannehill or Tom Brady and not laughing at it? That's where we are right now in 2020.
Yeah, I mean, I'd rather have Brady. I think Vrabel would, but it's hard. Now, if you're having success with Tannehill, how do you at least franchise tag, I would think, is coming his way. Tonight is college football national title game. Two of the future quarterbacks of the NFL, Trevor Lawrence and Joe Burrow, 8 p.m., toe-to-toe, Clemson and LSU. You can hear it on our flagship 93.7 in Boston. Celtics and Bruins in action tonight. The Bees are in Philly, 7 o'clock face-off. Celtics hosting the Bulls at 7:30. And, of course, the championship game is set. Titans, Chiefs, and Packers, Niners coming up this weekend. It's the Greg Hill Show.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Back to the Greg Hill Show on Sports Radio WEEI.
Of course, Ken in mourning over the passing of Neil Peart.
Ah, nope.
The drummer from Rush over the weekend.
It's Peart, and now you're mocking him.
I'm not.
I'm worried about Shu, by the way.
Why?
Shu was up tweeting, and I've tried to reach out to him, and he's not responding. And
well, I just, if anybody knows whether it is pronounced Peart or Peart, it is our former news director and co-host, Mike Shu. So,
and I believe he's always referred to him as I recall, as Peart.
Yeah.
But maybe he's just going with the conventional mispronunciation.
Well,
because it's easier than pulling this line that Ken's doing, trying to correct everybody.
Well, I just feel like Ken is trying to be a Rush Hardo.
Well, he is. Let him be.
Yeah.
The guy's name is Peart. Let him have it.
Well, no, but it's like, what
people
is
call
it?
You Craig Hill after you pass away, or would you not be upset about it? I mean,
is it
dead? But
is it Paul Peart or is it Paul Pierce? Jeez. I mean, I've never heard anybody say Neil Peart. It's that's what they say the pronunciation. Well, why have
but
people
that's
been
how
saying
it's spelled?
But why have people been saying Neil Peart since the dawn of rock and roll?
And Greg,
idiots.
You're right, because when this guy was alive, you mispronounced it. Now he's dead. You're trying to pronounce it correctly when he can't hear you.
How does
Meghan Markle pronounce it? That's what I want to know.
It's Markel.
When is the is that conference call today?
The Royal Crisis Summit?
Yes,
happening today.
You notice she's joining on the phone, speaking of Hardo moves.
Yeah.
So the Queen is summoning her son to Buckingham Palace, mm-hmm. or wherever you summon one to if you're a royal, because he's gone off off campus.
Yeah.
He's decided that he's going to do whatever he wants.
He's gone off resort.
He's gone off resort.
Off campus. Yeah.
But Meghan Markle is going to join the discussion via telephone because she's already gone off to Canada or whatever.
Make sure you don't give Megan the right conference call code.
Yeah, I mean,
why are they doing that on a Monday? What the hell's the difference of a Saturday or Sunday with those people? They announce it on Friday that they're having this big summit on a Monday, like they do anything during the week or the weekend. Like, it's different for them. Every day is an off day.
I'm guessing that they probably had to speak to each individual person's 15 handlers in order to set the meeting up and to figure out who's going to get to speak first and who's going to be in charge. I mean, it seems rather ridiculous. If they don't want to be in the royal family anymore, then
later
tell them to get rid of everything.
Right.
The courtesans, the butlers, the handmaids, the carriages, the private jets, the castles, you're either in or you're out.
And Trump is screwed because Meghan Markle says she's not moving to Los Angeles until Trump is out of office.
I know. What a ridiculous statement that is. I mean, are you serious? So we're supposed to accept they're abdicating. They're saying goodbye to the royal family.
Allegedly.
And they're going to come to America, but they're not going to come and until Donald Trump isn't the president?
Yep.
Get him out.
They want to feel the burn.
Oh, God.
Speaking of feeling the burn.
Yes.
What do you think of the news over the weekend that Vermont is proposing to legalize prostitution?
I think that'll be very interesting. I don't know. I mean, you know me, I'm for legalization. I know that it's not quite as simple as that. I know there's a lot to do. You know, we've had legal experts chime in before, about the sex trade and how legalizing prostitution can actually make things worse. But I don't know. I'm just of the mind that if you want to pay for sex, you should be able to.
If it's two consenting adults is what you're saying, Danielle?
Correct, yeah. I don't know if it's like an adult and a child that's been kidnapped or someone who's being forced to work against his or her own, will.
Yeah.
But if there are two people that, and again, I know because people will text in with it, people that are might have drug issues or whatnot will often turn to the sex trade to make money. But I don't know if this person's cool and that person's cool and you want to exchange some money, I don't see what the difference is in taking a chick out to a $300 dinner at the Capitol Grill and buying her a bunch of gifts and then having her put out. Like, it's still there's still a trade happening, right? Might not just be currency, but there's trade.
Seems like Vermont is planning on celebrating Bernie's lead in the polls pretty aggressively, huh?
Polls.
A little interesting period of time in Vermont. They're banning cell phones but making prostitution
correct.
Legal.
Right. Yeah. Go figure.
Yeah, I mean, are there a lot of prostitutes that are operating in Vermont? I mean,
or maybe it's not that many, so they're like, screw it, we might as well legalize it.
Like, is it just in Burlington or
maybe they're trying Brattleboro? Maybe they're trying
Mount Pelier, where most of them are operating.
Maybe they're trying to get people to move into the state. Increase tourism.
Yeah,
it's like when all the hookers flock to the Super Bowl city. Same thing. Yeah. Come to Vermont. It's our new tourism campaign.
Listen, it's one more
come
thing.
To Vermont.
It's one more thing that you can tax, right? Essentially,
yes.
Yeah,
that's why I'm shocked it's not legal in Mass.
Well,
we know how we love to tax things.
Yeah, I mean Rachel Rollins. Oh no, it wasn't Rachel Rollins who floated that. Who floated that here in
it
Massachusetts?
Was, I think it was a city councilor.
It was It was Boston that was.
Ayanna Pressley wants to decriminalize it.
She wants to decriminalize it, which is different than legalizing
it.
It's kind of like marijuana.
Yeah.
Like it's a $100 fine or something like that.
It used to be. Now marijuana's legal, but when it was decriminalized,
decriminalized, yeah. But, I mean, I don't know. I guess there's probably... how do women feel? I mean, you're a woman. You feel like you're okay with it.
I'm fine with it. I don't have a problem with it. Yeah. I just it needs to be done the right way. I think that, if you're going to tax it and get revenue from it, you could potentially put that tax money toward, programs to prevent sex trafficking and abuse. Like we have, some of the, I think, I'm not 100% sure on this, but I think some of the money from the marijuana tax may go to treatment programs and stuff like that. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know, but I recall seeing something about that. So maybe you can implement that.
Yeah. Well, it's cold up there. Texter says they need to keep warm.
You do need
maybe
to keep warm.
Maybe that's why they're thinking of legalizing prostitution in Vermont. I don't know.
Earlier in the show, I asked why we continue to live in the cold as opposed to seeking out warmer regions. Vermont. Man, you got all that organic pork, world-class IPAs, and now prostitution. Guess where I'm moving the family?
Hello, hello, Mike.
Good morning, morning show.
What's up,
hello,
Mike?
Hello, Michael.
I am all about paying for sex. No, seriously, though. The new position is the mounting turtle. And if you need a demonstration, I'll be happy to come down to the studio.
is that like the jackhammer?
It's actually like the reverse jackhammer. Easy now. Right. So should I be adding a Belichick cutoff sweatshirt, like Giants cutoff sweatshirt, to my Tom Brady Dolphins jersey collection? Is that what I'm hearing this morning from you guys?
I think that's what you're hearing. I mean, I don't know. Is it far fetched? I mean,
honestly, Greg, at this point, I don't really care. Like, seriously, like, everybody's been over it so much. But, I mean, besides the planet being fine, it's just going to kick us all off, like the great Jim Jefferies says, and a couple of your callers brought it up, too.
Yeah.
The planet's been around for, like, billions of years. I think it's seen worse than us.
Yeah, I think the planet's going to be fine. I think the planet will be fine. Wait a second. Ken, you have the turtle sex sound?
Yep, exclusive sound has just come in for that.
From the previous show that we did?
Yes.
Oh, that's it.
Diego.
Yeah, Diego. That's Diego.
Wow.
That's one of the weirder animal sex sounds, I think, is the turtle sex sound.
Is there a function on the radio.com rewind app where I can never hear that again?
I don't know why.
You want to filter it out?
That made me think of Eddie Andelman.
What's your issue with turtles? They're allowed to procreate.
I mean, I mean, listen.
You've never heard that before?
I like turtles,
but how much?
Yeah, but that just sounded too real. That was like, you can walk in on that sound. Like, we all fell asleep, and there's a weird roommate that got lucky one night that we're like, oh, please.
All right, I think we have to take a break, but. We got to take a break from turtle sex,
it's Jim Gray,
and drum solos, and all that, but we'll be right back.
Back to the Greg Hill Show on WEEI. Oh, the dope will have a heart to tell. To my friends hanging Lewis and well. The dream alone is always in your hand. If that's the fill the boy, I'm still the man. The house is a man of secrets, so I'm told. Through the years of theory, time grows cold. I'm up to beat, the cane has got unclear.
Well, the Oscar nominations are coming out as we speak, Danielle.
Yes.
And Rocket Man, thankfully, did not get nominated for Best Picture.
Oh, you hated it?
I didn't like it.
Nowhere close to the Queen biopic?
I thought that the Freddie Mercury movie was 10 times better than the... I thought the Elton John one was just weird. Like, maybe it's... I mean, I guess the Queen movie was essentially a musical. I mean, was it a musical?
It's not really
a musical.
It honored not like, the music.
Not like Cats is a musical or whatever, right. But what do we got for Best Picture, though, Danielle?
Ford versus Ferrari.
Really?
Yep. The Irishman. Jojo Rabbit. Joker. Little Women. Marriage Story. 1917. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. And Parasite.
Huh. Now, 1917 has to be the odds-on favorite because it's a war film, right?
I guess Hurt Locker won it a couple years ago. That's the last one, I think, to win.
Yes.
The Irishman will not win it. That's only in there because of the people involved with the movie.
I watched 2.5 hours of that yesterday. I still have an hour left. It's pretty good, though. I don't know how it finishes.
It starts slow.
Yeah.
But it's enjoyable
if you're into mob movies.
It is. So that's interesting. Two Netflix productions nominated for Best Picture.
Correct.
Marriage Story was pretty good. Anybody watch that?
I haven't
that?
Seen it. I heard it was good.
I mean, it's kind of depressing, but it was pretty good.
It's got the word marriage in it. Of course, it's depressing.
Yeah. And Adam Sandler not getting a nomination for Uncut Gems?
No. The best lead actor noms, you've got Antonio Banderas, Leo DiCaprio.
Wait, Antonio Banderas for what?
It doesn't say here in front of me.
Leonardo for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Yeah. Adam Driver, Joaquin Phoenix, and
that's
Jonathan
for the Joker.
And Jonathan Pryce.
For the two Joes.
For the two Joes, yes. Not the two Popes, the two Joes.
Oh. Banderas was in a movie called Pain and Glory, which I don't know what it is.
Thank you.
I
didn't
see that. A lot of people thought Adam Sandler was going to get an Oscar nod.
Even for
viewers,
this is why they're so dumb. Even to get an audience, you would have a whole new sort of segment of the people that would watch to see if Sandler got an Oscar for that.
It's weird. I'm now getting mixed reviews from texters because I said I wanted to go see it because everybody was saying how great it is, and people are giving it a meh.
Meh. And you already don't like Sandler. So.
Well, no, it's not that I don't like Adam Sandler. I'm just not a fan of
his... You don't like his brand of comedy.
His brand of comedy is not necessarily my brand of comedy. Mm-hmm.
Really? Not a Sandler guy?
No, not really.
Like, not at all. Not even a little.
Big Daddy's an all-timer.
I don't, like, I don't understand these people. Like, this texter who says Joker should win Best Picture all the way. Like, I did not... I mean, it was a good movie, but...
You don't see it being
that. It's like a character study. I mean, it's not like... I just didn't think it was that great. Did anybody else think that that was the film of the year?
No.
All right. This is Mike. Hello, Mike.
Hey, Greg. I've been a fan of yours ever since I used to watch you at your favorite local gym. Go and spend 5 minutes on the stationary bike, get up and leave. It was always a pleasure. But I just wanted to make a comment on the prostitution thing. There's a Netflix documentary about prostitution in Germany. Mm-hmm. And if you actually watched it, you would cringe.
Really?
It's just, it shows how disgusting the industry is. And even the women who willingly join are just careful, just ripped over the coals.
Yeah.
Some of them have 16 and 20,000 partners, and then they want to leave and they can't get jobs elsewhere, so they're kind of stuck.
So do you think if Danielle were to watch the documentary, you think she would change her mind when it comes to Vermont legalizing prostitution?
Absolutely. I think Germany's has had it for many years. And there's a lot of foreign, Eastern European women who get roped into it. And there is connections to organized crime that funnel these women in, even though the Germans really work hard to try and stop that. But the documentary will just make you never want to think about prostitution again.
And what's it called?
I forget, but it's... I think if you go search prostitution in Germany on your Netflix,
all right.
It'll come up. But that's my point, and I'll take my the comments off air.
It's called Do Your Job.
I think it's called the Mega Brothel.
The Mega Brothel?
I think that's what it's called.
Yeah.
I think it's on Amazon Prime Video. That's what it looks like.
Well, listen, documentaries can change your life. After Don't F with Cats, I never want to meet a person named Luca ever
again.
No,
you don't.
Where is Body Moving, by the way, Curtis? Where is that big get by you?
Mm-hmm. She'll be here shortly.
Is this week, you think?
I'm very hopeful, as in I haven't heard back from her since she initially said, contact Netflix and I'll come on.
Okay.
So,
what are the Netflix people saying?
They're not getting back to me.
Oh.
But working on it.
I don't understand that.
They're saying that Luca lived on the second floor.
I didn't watch it, but as long as we're talking about television, which I like to do, amazing reviews on the first episode of The Outsider, which was on HBO last night. Anybody watch that?
I did not. I was watching football.
You
can't
get away.
They're calling it highly addictive.
Everybody's talking about how incredible it was, so I'm going to have to...
I have to subscribe to another streaming service.
I'm going to have to watch it for lunch. I mean, now that it's...
On the Peloton?
Yes. No, I can't. I have to watch Hannah when I'm on the Peloton.
You can't multitask and do a split screen?
No, I can't do that.
Every break, Greg's talking about how many followers he has on his Peloton, how his legs are feeling now that he's doing Peloton.
Right. Want to give your handle out?
I think I might die. I mean, honestly, Curtis, I don't know. They give you a little thing when you get on there which says you have a 1 week streak going.
Yeah.
And so today, when I get on, it's going to say 2 week streak. I don't know. I might not make it. to the 3 week point.
Do you get credit for the streak even if you just leave early to go to Stella for dinner?
Yeah, yes. Oh. You get credit for the streak as long as you get on the thing.
And does it measure that you had porcini ravioli, so you probably don't get as much credit?
Right. Well, he had just a bite, Curtis. Just one raviolo.
That sauce had more cream than your coffee.
That's true.
I didn't order that. I walked into the place.
And they put it in front of you?
Yes.
You felt compelled to eat it.
And they said, you got to try this. This is the specialty here at Trattoria Il Panino.
When they say try, they don't mean wipe out the whole thing and ask for extra bread for the sauce.
I did dip a little bit.
There's a mushroom shortage in Boston.
I did dip a little bit of the bread into the mushroom sauce. Yes. I mean, how can you not?
How many espresso martinis?
Only one. It's a work night. Okay. Only one. I was trying to watch some football. You know, I'm a sports. I don't know if you know it or not, but I'm a sports journalist.
I had no idea.
To watch all the football games. Hello, Shelly. Hey, Shelly.
Hi, Greg. I've been listening to you forever, and I have to agree with you about Adam Sandler. Cannot stand the comedy. So I went to high school with Adam Sandler.
Yes.
And a couple of my friends and I, you know, the first day of school when you're looking at who's coming in your class, we would always say, oh, my God, I hope he's not in my class. He was such a doofus. Constantly interrupting the teacher, just not even funny, but thought he was super funny. Yeah.
I mean, listen, some people love his style. I give him credit for being even talked about when it comes to the Oscars, because he's a comedic actor.
Yeah.
So apparently in this film, he's really good, and he does something that he doesn't normally do. I mean, he's done a few serious movies.
Yeah.
That one that he did about...
Curtis loved the Spanglish one. He brings that up all the time.
I love that movie.
Spanglish.
Where he's the chef, and he's it's phenomenal.
That's like a rom-com thing.
Yeah, it's excellent.
But also that one that he did about 9/11 was pretty
good.
I don't remember the name of that, but that's a pretty good movie.
He's worth nearly $500 million. I don't think he cares about high school and the people that didn't want him in the class because he was a honky weird, you know, comedy guy.
Is he almost worth $500 million?
Yeah, estimates for 2019 were that Adam Sandler's net worth is between $420 million and $450 million.
The biggest snub of his career was Mr. Deeds. He was phenomenal in that.
Mm.
That's almost...
Should have been nominated.
Because me and you are hanging at the pearly gates, I'll bring the beers.
Probably almost as much as Gwyneth Paltrow is worth.
Oh, God. That one. I can't. Go away.
Speaking of Gwyneth Paltrow.
No, I don't want to.
You don't?
I don't, because I...
Do you want to talk about it or not?
I feel like I know where you're going. Is this about the item that's...
The candle?
No.
You don't want to talk about the candle?
Are we allowed to talk about this?
I mean, we have to do it very creatively, Ken.
It's the strangest thing I think I've ever heard.
It's your essence.
It's an odd thing. So Goop.
Fitting.
The Gwyneth Paltrow health or alleged better living site has been selling a candle, and it sold out.
It's sold out.
In a rapid period of time.
It's a $75 candle.
It is a $75 candle. And I don't know how to describe, you know, we are on the people's airwaves, but it is a candle that smells like, if you're a woman, it smells like your, you know, your special place.
Area.
Your special area.
Yeah.
And that sold out.
Sold out.
For $75?
A pop. Everybody wants to be like Gwyneth.
So are people going to be like walking into somebody's home and saying, hey.
Hmm. Oh, is that lavender or?
Paltrow.
It's
EDP.
Now, was it her scent or was it just any, like every woman's scent?
So
or, like,
the way this came about was she was working with a perfumer on a new fragrance.
Uh-huh.
And he had come up with this fragrance that blended like geranium, bergamot. Is it bergamot or bergamot? I don't know. Cedar, a couple of other things, rose, ambrette seed. And she reportedly said, wow, this smells like a you-know-what.
This smells like my blank.
So then they were like, great, let's field test it. Tested well, guy. Let's put it into the rotation. They loved it.
I get it. I like, you know, when people have candles going, like during Christmas time, and you walk into somebody's house and... Mm-hmm. It smells like boysenberry I like that, but I don't know. Like, do you comment on it if you walk into somebody's home? And
what is that?
I guess.
But how about we're blowing over the biggest part of this, that it's sold out.
It's sold out.
Like what?
But you know what it is? They're set the following of the people that follow Goop closely are just they're such sycophants when it comes to her. That I mean, you know, she had like the whole yoni egg thing and like all these other, you know, the V-Steam, all this other stuff that she and her, these quote unquote physicians are telling you to try, and then you have other medical experts who are like, no, under no circumstances should you do anything that Gwyneth Paltrow recommends.
Do we view Goop the way the rest of the world views TB12? Like these two people that have these lifestyle things that are just bizarre?
I mean, do you think that
question.
When it comes to who's buying it, was it mostly women or was it men?
Dudes aren't spending $75 on a V candle, guy. They're not gonna buy.
You don't think they're gonna buy the V candle?
No.
You can get Summer Breeze for $15.
This is Sean. Hello, Sean.
Hey guys, thanks for taking the call.
Yeah.
Good morning. I mean, you have to be pretty cocky, no pun intended, to say, you know what, your living room needs to smell like my essence. What exactly were the quality control measures that were in place to make sure that it smelled like her?
I'm amazed. I mean, good, I guess, for her. I mean, if America wants to buy a candle that smells like what you smell like, good for you, Gwyneth Paltrow.
You know
good
how
for you.
Oftentimes there, well, maybe you won't know this because you're a guy, but there's a there's a big knockoff market for things like beauty products that are sold on Amazon by third-party retailers. So if you have a specific beauty product you're looking to get that's only sold, you know, in certain countries or certain places, maybe you find it on Amazon and you're like, oh, great, this I found the thing. And then you see all the reviews. It's one star. Like, oh, once I opened the package, I realized it wasn't the right color or the right scent. Can you imagine the knockoff candle being sold by the third-party China retailer?
No, I feel like the first time, like, I feel like the first time you light the thing, you're going to have 100 cats outside your house.
They need antibiotic for that. Jesus.
Trying to get in.
God.
Hey, well, you know, I lit a candle, and all of a sudden, I got all the stray cats in the neighborhood outside the window.
Who invited them?
Oh, all right, I can't anymore. We have to take a break, but I believe we are going to go deep goat. So Tom Brady spoke to the great Jim Gray. We will we'll go deep goat on that coming up on this morning's Greg Hill Show here at WEEI.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.